Welcome back. The ripple effect. I'd love to ask this man of God, beginning from Rebecca on my left, how long have you been in this end time message?
Okay, I've been in the end time message. Let's say I came to Brian Assembly in 2004. But then I was still juggling denomination Brian Assembly. I was not really that serious. So I would say I came into the message more precisely August 2005.
August 2005. Wow,
that's about 17 years.
About 17 years now. You've been following the ministry of Ilambram. This is very beautiful. What about you, brother Sydney?
Over 17 years.
18, wow, 18 years. Wonderful. Okay, what about you, brother Gabriel?
Okay, well, we came to Bride Assembly in 2003, and I remember from early 2003. I mean, I came in. There was nothing else to believe other than to believe what I thought.
Wonderful.
So we just continued like that.
That's so, almost 19 years. Over 19 years. Wow. Well, I cannot compare myself with you guys because we are new in the end-time message. Like the three of you. That means you have experience. You grew up believing this.
In the ministry, yeah.
And you came to a church like Brother Assembly where we teach and we establish people on what the end-time message is. But let's go to the main issue. Pastor Moses came and started correcting several things.
Yeah.
And these things are core doctrines in the end time message. It's just like somebody coming to change the national anthem of Nigeria or national pledge. Or even if not even national anthem or national pledge, even our constitution.
Yeah.
Somebody should just come from nowhere and change it. So I know you people, you are youth leaders and you encounter many people, some especially through the social media, people from outside Nigeria, and even physically. So I'm sure I would love to hear from you, and not just myself. Those watching us now would love to hear from you, and let's see what are the things you have experienced since this thing started. Because here you are. Let me first ask, Brother Sydney, when Pastor Moses came and brought a teaching like Malachi 4:5-6, Revelation 10:7 is not fulfilled in Ilambram, I want to first know, what was your own reaction to this? What was the effect on you? Because we're looking at the ripple effect. What was the effect on you?
All right, God bless you, Pastor Olubide. And first of all, these are the foundations of every message believers. The scripture you just quoted, Malachi 4, 5, and 6.
That's right.
We came in believing these things.
Certainly.
And we have held onto these things for years.
For years.
And this thing has
become... I love what you say. These are the foundations.
Yes, that's okay. Right. And this thing has become part of us. And it's just like someone coming to tell you, your father who's training you, who begat you for many years and has been taking care of you, is no longer your father.
Okay.
It's a shaking. When Pastor Moses came on, you know, to give us that revelation, for some time, some months, weeks, I could not understand it. It was shaking to me. But there are two things in the scripture, two statements. Paul said it to Timothy, and the Lord God said it to Joshua. Study and meditate. You don't conclude except you have studied and meditate. So we went back like the Berean Christians. What is Pastor Moses really saying? Is he diverting, or is he going off from, like others said, or is he actually progressing in revelation? When we study, we actually come to conclusion through the scripture that, you know, if you start reading from Malachi 1, from verse 1.
Okay, Malachi 4 from verse 1.
From verse 1. Then you understand what Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is actually saying. But we're not reading from the beginning.
Hey.
We just picked what will suit our belief. And who preached this thing? It was with the prophet himself that taught all these things. And we picked it up and believed it. And it became the foundation of every message believers around the world. So it was not really a shaking. It shook us for some time. But with the revelation of the Lord giving us through the scripture, I believe everything coming from.
Wow, that's very beautiful. So I'm picking something interesting from what you're saying. And that's the truth. We start Malachi 4 from verse 5 and 6. We just pick it and run off with it.
Yes.
But the Bible says we should study. That's very beautiful. I love that. It shook you for a while. So the effect was it shook you, because I know several people have deassociated from us. Yes, they've stopped coming to the church, stopped following this ministry because of these changes or because of these corrections rather. And when I still see people like you guys that have been in message for long, still here. So I think you have something to say. Because for you to still be here, despite your foundations are shaking, it shows that truly you have something to say and you believe what is going on here. What about you, Pastor Gabriel? How was it when all of a sudden Pastor Moses came and said Malachi 4, 5, 6 is not with Abraham, Revelation 10, 7, and I know the song you used to sing, Malachi 4, 5, 6, you believe, Revelation 10, 7. Now, Pastor Moses is telling you that these scriptures have nothing to do with the Gentiles. Amen. And you have believed it long. He himself taught it to you for long, and he's coming to change it. How was it? You see, what was the ripple effect on you?
Let's start from the very beginning. Like I said, we came into Brian Assembly in 2003. From that time, joining the ministry, you know, we're hearing things I've never heard before from the church. Pastor Moses Ali would teach for hours. I want to take our mind back to the past. This same Pastor Moses that we're seeing taught us. I was among the sets in that environment. That Pastor Moses took a Bible study on the seven church ages for months. Pastor Moses read every letter in the seven church age book, every letter to everybody. So when you say, did he shake me? A shake is an understatement. I'm telling you, he read, these are the things he reads to us, these are the things he preaches to us. So growing up, we keep following him as he preaches, we follow him. Hear what he says. The day I heard that of Malachi 4, 5 and Revelation 10, 7, sincerely, I took a pause. I said, Pale, don't start another one. You know, because I know this is something everybody believes. You know, it's like you are picking one golden coin among so many bronze coins. You know, to be very tough, you are picking a golden coin from thousands of bronze coins. So there will be an effect. And for us, I mean, following the ministry since I was a young man, a little boy, to this stage, and then what I have been taught by this same pastor, then he's coming to tell me that what he taught me actually was not right. He's now showing me from scripture. At first, I went back. It shook me very well. But as he says, it shook me so well that, but when I took a pause, you know, I remember an incident that happened in this same period when he preached about Judas. I heard it on WhatsApp. I came that Tuesday to go and confront Pastor. I was rushing to come and say, no, Pastor cannot say that. I entered his office. I said, sir, you said Judas is not in hell. You said Judas went to heaven. I was just talking. He was looking at me. When I finished, he said, oh, yeah, open your Bible, let's see it. The moment he showed me from the scripture, I remember while he was still reading that day in the office, you know, as it is, as a believer, the Holy Ghost already brought the conviction that this was true. So I couldn't argue again. I went back, as a Berean Christian, definitely. I went back and I opened my scripture and I saw it for myself that he's correct. So for me, in as much as it shook me a bit, but when I go back to the scriptures, I was able to align things properly. Now, no, you cannot actually give William Branham Malachi 4:5 and call him Elijah. That you are confusing so many scriptures. If God promised Elijah to the Jews, we saw the example in John the Baptist. It means the fulfillment of the second one is still in the Bible. It's not something we should be finding anywhere. If the first Elijah is mentioned in the Bible, the second one is also there. So it's simple. Go back to Revelation 11. You'll find the second one.
That's right.
It's just something very clear. It's like the problem we had years in this message is that we only repeat what we were told. We don't read. I don't know if you are following. We just repeat. This is the nature of every anti-message believer you can find anywhere. They only repeat what they are told. They don't search to confirm from scripture. So it means they can be quoting a scripture based on what somebody said, not how it is written. That's when you hear them quote the Bible, don't believe immediately. Read it.
Go and check for
yourself. Check for yourself because they are actually quoting the scripture based on how a pastor, a senior pastor, is quoting it. This has been our mindset until God in his mercy took Pastor Moses. Now, let's go back to the scripture. Now, I can boldly speak to any message believer from the scripture. I can speak to any Christian now to what I believe. I can show them what I believe from the Bible. Before, we're only showing people what we believe from somebody else's understanding. And so for me, Yeah, it shook me, but it's good to come back to the Bible. And I'm grateful that God used Pastor Moses for this.
Thank you very much. Wow. From what you said, I'm picking something. Both of you mentioned the Berean Christians, And it's very true. You know, in the end time message, parrot-like Christianity is very common.
Very true.
Because
very true.
Somebody highly respected said this.
It becomes
without going to cross-check what the Bible says.
True.
You know, that's a very, very good point. I really love what you said, by Gabriel. What about you, Brebuka? What was the effect on you when Pastor Moses came and corrected the things you were brought up believing in the entire message?
Well, with the theme for today being the ripple effect, it's when the stone drops into an ocean or into a body of water, the first place it drops receives the first effect before it then spreads further. So a lot of reactions we are receiving definitely from outside, it's not something new per se, because we had actually been the ones who saw or received the first effect.
First blow.
So when it hit us, I remember there was a time Pastor kept mentioning at the altar during that period, you see, these young men, whenever they come to my office like this, I have to be very, very careful, because consistently during that period, I know several of us were visiting his office consistently. Not just youths, but also pastors,
ministers
among the church were visiting his office to question him on this. So sometimes it makes it very fun when people say, nobody talks to him. And what he says is what is final in that church. We all saw what it was that period.
And
then there's one thing that's really helped in all this period, and that is one basic thing Pastor Moses had always pointed out to the church, especially the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, was be open when it comes to the scriptures.
Amen.
And for me, that was what really opened my mind to this. He was saying something and it really shook me. Yes, it did. Because, you know, and I the feelings I was having was more like the feelings I had when I just come from, because I came from a denominational setting to the Bride Assembly. So that feeling I had when I came, and then they are telling me what they ate in Eden is not apple. What water baptism is important for your salvation. And then water baptism is not just sprinkling of water. It's not just putting you in the name of the Father, Son. It's in the name of Jesus. That same feeling came up again, like, what is going on? I thought we have settled all this. I have to still go through this again. So a lot of questions came through my heart, through my mind, through a lot of youth. I do recall that certain persons left the church during that period.
Wonderful.
Ministers, youths left the church, and they're like, no, they can't stand this and this and that. And that was the effect we have. So now it's coming, and then we have what we have right now, which is a blessing to us, the Bright TV. And then the effect is now coming on a larger scale. We had seen it already in here like a sample already. So when it's coming that way and people feel it's something, it's not something new. We already saw it, but one thing we knew was we went back to the scriptures. Could this be found in the scriptures? And yes, it's found in the scriptures. I do remember one time when there was a time where we're having this issue of John ministry.
Okay.
There was really a young brother young then, now he was quite older than me back then, but he was someone every one of us as youth looked up to and things like that. And prior to then, I had certain revelation about that, that the John ministry and things like that. So I remember coming to him and I saw the Bible back in, but I didn't understand what was going on. So I went to meet him and I was like, brother, see this scripture. And see what the Lord told me, but I cannot place what is going on. He looked at me and then he smiled. He said, you will not understand. I will understand by and by. So we left it not until when the whole thing became on a large scale. And then the church Pastor Moses also had to preach. And then he said, he was one of those who left the church during that period because scripturally, there was no alignment, so he had to leave that period. I remember when I came, and then since this is somebody that was closer to me, I was always asking Bible questions, and then he was gone. And then I went to meet Pastor, and the Pastor was like, I know you are close to so person, and he has gone. Are you not following him? He said, I'm not tying you down to Bride Assembly. You are free to go. You came on your own. you're also free to make your choice and go. So none of us, why I brought this up is to say, none of us is here. And mind you, then I was not, maybe somebody will say, oh, it's because he's part of he's a worker now, a church worker, and then he's on some allowance. No, then I was not even close to any of that. I was just a floor member who had just come to the church, who was trying to understand the scriptures, had this passion to go through the scriptures and stand by the scriptures. So this is what is the basis for where we stand. We're not standing because Pastor Moses is saying. We are standing because we've confirmed by the scriptures.
Amen.
And the scripture says, hallelujah. Amen.
Wow. Amen. I can see the effect on every one of us. That's so beautiful. Well, thank God I'm the interviewer today, so you guys will not hear my own effect. But it's because I love what you said. It starts from us. It wasn't easy when Pastor came, and I remember the time of Judas. You know, this one is not even among followers of the ministry of God. This is about Christianity generally. How can you say Judas is in heaven? As such, a doctrine has made Pastor Moses said to be called several names.
Very true.
In fact, many people have called him Antichrist because of such stand and such teachings. Then, in the end time message, he did not only stop at Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. He came and said that the messenger to this age is William Seymour. Hey. In fact, there are many end time message believers that believe that Pastor Moses is not in the end time message. Well, let me leave you guys to talk.
Yeah.
You people are youth leaders. And you know many people, you have association both within the church and outside the church, especially outside the church in this followership of the ministry of Lambram. You've met many people, and when these actions started from Pastor Moses, this move, you met many people and you heard several things. Can you share with us the experiences you've been having? The effects you have been having from different people.
Do I come in first? Then I'll just throw some point, and I'm trusting my brethren would continue from there. Pastor Gabriel made a statement, and he was saying about that a lot of people in the message just quote.
Exactly.
Because a pastor or somebody they looked up to had said it this way. And then we read that scripture with that words, the way the words was being said. I'll point to some of the scriptures. Amos 3:7.
Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Okay. I read. It says,
okay.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the
unto
prophets.
Unto what?
His servants, the prophets.
Usually what we read is unto his servants, the prophets. The S for servant is missing.
Yeah.
S for prophets.
They remove it.
We don't quote it. So when you then go back to the scripture, and then it is being pointed to you that no. Yes. I remember there was one time when this whole thing of the Revelation 10:7. Let's go to Revelation 10:7 also. Okay. I remember one the pastor had to tell me reread it again on Ask the Pastor. I think that was when I just came on Ask the Pastor.
Okay.
I read it and then he said, go back and read it again. Let's read what it says.
Okay. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of
hold on. What we say is the mysteries.
The mysteries.
The mysteries of God. But what is in the Bible is the mystery.
That's right.
Let's continue.
The mystery of God should be finished.
Okay.
As he had declared to his servants.
Servants. Again, there's an S.
Plural.
Again, the next one.
The prophets.
Not the prophets.
Hey.
These are scriptures we've been holding on to.
So what is their problem with the stand of Pastor Moses about the scripture?
I said the problem in the entire message that we had, this thing happened to us. You see, Brian Assembly, when I joined Brian Assembly in 2003, I said Pastor taught us the seven church ages. This thing I'm telling you, read it to us. We grew up saying the same thing. The mysteries is revealed by the prophets. William Branham is the star messenger. We said these things. Then the John's ministry came in. Then we're almost carried by that again. Pastor knocked it off. Then now you are hearing, now Pastor is going back, pointing us to scripture. If you read a scripture, and if you are listening to a message believer, if you don't open your ears carefully, you think the person is actually saying something. Like what Rebecca just pointed out. That scripture in Amos, they recite it like water. God revealed the secret to his servant and prophet. He revealed the secret to his servant and prophet. So but you are hearing, you are reading servant prophet, but you are hearing servant the prophet. So there are two different scriptures. For me, I concluded by saying it's either that most message believers are rewriting the Bible. Because that's the only way. It's like they're introducing a new scripture that we do not know. Because if you want to come back to Bible, there shouldn't be anything like quarrel at all. If Pastor Moses is pointing out things, I'll hang it here first because there's still other things.
I want to make a statement. But before then, let me quote this scripture. John 1, 35.
John chapter 1, verse 35.
To 37.
Mm. Okay. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus.
They followed Jesus. Then who is the center of this message? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Right. If the Lord Jesus is our center point, then why are we looking unto a man? Mm. Now, the voice of restoration that started with Luther, it is the voice to point us out to the bridegroom.
True.
You know, there are three types of believers. Those who had the voice as a cry. You know, the Bible said there was a cry. Those who had the voice but built a wall around the voice. Mm. And those who had the voice and responded, because you have to move.
Amen.
You say, and they go ye out
to meet him.
To meet him. It means you will have to go out as a response of that voice you have heard. So these three type of people are found in the message. Some categorize themselves as different parts as the thunders. Different people in the same message, and we are holding up to one Bible. That's why I said some add it as a cry. The voice, nothing more than the cry.
It's a noise to them.
A noise to them. Why some add it but refuse to respond to what the voice is saying? Mm. Instead, build a wall around the voice, and that voice becomes their idol.
Build a wall around the person who
and now the person spoke. Who is making the announcement that there's something coming, though, behold the Lamb of God. Why some have to go out to meet the bridegroom? And those are the wise virgins.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in the end time message, we have both wise and foolish virgins.
Wise.
According to Pastor C.
Wise.
God bless you, sir. This is very interesting. Revelation 10:7, for instance. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As he has declared to his servants, the prophets. It's so clear. Mysteries, mystery, servants, prophets.
Can I also point out something?
Okay.
Let's go to Malachi. Malachi 4.
Malachi chapter 4.
5 and 6. Which is 5. One of the stronghold of our believing
the foundation.
Message. That's the foundation.
That's constitution.
So now you want to shake the foundation.
All right. Malachi chapter 4,
Malachi chapter 5 and 6.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great
dreadful day of the Lord. Yes.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of children to their fathers.
Okay. The heart of the fathers to the children. We see that already fulfilled in Luke 1, verse 17.
Right.
The prophecy that was made of John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Luke 1, verse 17. Also, you see something in Matthew 17:10, which is another scripture most people in the message use.
Matthew 17:10, and the disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things.
Verse 11 to 12.
But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them.
Okay, when we come to verse 12, we all agree. John the Baptist had fulfilled that. Now, but when it comes to verse 11, the general understanding is, will Abraham fulfill that part?
Shall surely
in
come.
The end time message, that Elijah shall surely come. Now, and then I was going through, this platform I actually was on, or I am still on actually, and somebody made a statement that was saying that you cannot remove Elijah to the Gentile church. That there's an Elijah to the Gentile church. Even if you want to say that, okay, Malachi 4, 6, the second part B, is talking of the Jewish Elijah. Then what about Matthew 17, verse 11? That when God deals with the church, with the Gentiles, it deals with the individual. When God deals with the Jews, it deals with a nation. Now, my question and my thought comes to this. Acts 2, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came, the first people it was offered to by the apostolic fathers was the Jews.
was the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Was the Jews. Mm-hmm. Now, right. So it was, and then when you come to Acts 13, verse 46,
yeah.
That was when Paul had now come into the ministry, and then he was preaching, and then he then said, lo, now we turn to the Gentiles, because the Jews had rejected this thing. True. So he them saying that, it was not presented to the Jews. The Jews were already blinded. When were they blinded? They were blinded because they refused to turn to the apostolic fathers. Yeah. So now, when we come back to Malachi chapter 4, and verse 6b, which is the other part of the heart of the children to their fathers. That is what is going to be happening. They had rejected once. There's going to be another opportunity that is coming to
Wonderful.
Them to turn the children back to the apostolic fathers that the first church age rejected.
That's right. Can I That's continue right. from
you
there?
You can continue.
Because it's very interesting for us to see these things. You know, sometimes these people think that we in Bride Assembly were just noisemakers. The truth is, Pastor Moses, God bless him.
Amen.
God has been able to use Pastor Moses to bring us back to the light of the scripture. And people are not seeing this.
Amen.
You see, first, they make it look like one of them said that, I heard this one, you know, we belong to this group, we hear them. He said something like, Elijah is sent to the Jews, then the Gentiles, then the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you are putting three people when God said there are
only two.
You are adding a third person. But the truth is, they are in serious confusion. They know that God has a work for the Gentiles. Mm. The scripture says God has a work for the Gentiles.
Certain.
Do we agree?
Sure.
Isaiah
sure.
prophesied
sure.
that there will be a light to the Gentiles.
Sure.
That's the prophecy of Isaiah. They quote Amos 3:7. Yes, God has spoken to a prophet, Isaiah. There will be a light to the Gentiles. Mm. But the question is, who is this light?
Mm.
When was it fulfilled?
Mm.
Is he a prophet? These are questions we must ask. Now, the light, we saw that it was fulfilled in Apostle Paul. Acts yes. chapter 9. We saw the conversion of Paul. The prophet, is it Ananias?
Yes.
Ananias
yes.
received the prophecy from God. I told him, let's read it, please, so that we know
how to change chapter 9.
Acts 9.
From verse...
That should be, let's read from 13.
From verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man,
mm-hmm.
how much evil he had done to thy saint at Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And yea, he had authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy
mm-hmm.
name. But the Lord said unto him,
Ananias is saying something, but this is what God is saying concerning Paul. Mm-hmm. Read it, brother.
Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles.
To bear my name before
the Gentiles
and kings.
And the children of Israel.
So it means this man is going to do a lot of work, but his major work begins from what was stated there.
That's
he has
right.
a work to do with the Gentiles.
Yes, sir.
So yes, truly, God has a work, has something for the Gentiles, but who is he going to use in presenting this work? It is not a prophet.
Mm.
To the Gentile church, God deals with us differently.
That's right.
Our foundation is not built like that of the Old Testament saints. Mm. Yes, they had prophets. Mm. When it comes to the Gentile church, the apostles are first.
Yes, that's right.
Foundation not the Gentile. Ephesians 2:20 yes. tells us, the apostles take the first place.
Mm.
Then every other thing can follow. Mm. In fact, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Where? From where? They've been prophesying from the Old Testament.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone.
Yes, right.
Every other person there in the New Testament church follows the apostle.
Mm.
Till
right.
date, we still confess Paul. We still read Paul.
That's right.
The brother, you know, kept saying certain things and made it look like there's a prophetic ministry that will take the message of Elijah, that will be this Elijah now to the Gentiles.
Mm.
And then you hear them say things like prophet messenger.
Prophet messenger.
We are confusing
yeah.
ourselves now. It's not even found in the Bible.
There's nowhere in the New Testament that this was prophesied.
As in, you don't even find it anywhere in the New Testament about the Gentiles receiving a prophet. Now, Pastor Moses has helped us by God's grace in his life to show us that, you people should go back and read your Bible. When we went back and read our Bible, this is what we discovered. We discovered that the ministry that God used in taking the gospel to the Gentiles was the apostolic ministry through Paul. Rebecca quoted Acts 13. That cannot be disputed by anybody. So tomorrow, if somebody now comes and say that
Matthew 21, 43 says,
yeah.
Therefore I say unto you,
mm-hmm.
the kingdom of God shall be taken from you
uh-huh.
and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof.
If anybody reads this scripture to you mm-hmm. and tells you that this scripture is William Brown that's fulfilling it, the person does not know his Bible.
Of course.
Because Paul has already done this. It has been fulfilled in Paul.
That's right.
So why are we going back again to what Paul has fulfilled?
You know, most, I think there's serious confusion in the followers of the ministry of Elam Brahim. They just bring any scripture they want and
anything.
Quote it anyhow they want. I love what God is doing through this ministry. We are now rightly dividing the word of truth. Mm. You pointed out something which I believe the viewers at home should take note of.
Mm.
They say Malachi 4, 5, and 6.
Mm.
They say we clearly see that John the Baptist fulfilled one.
Yes.
Mm. And there's another coming of Elijah in Revelation 11.
That's right.
That lets us know that's the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if exactly. we bring in a third fulfillment, then that scripture
confusion
has been torn apart.
It has been scattered.
Because from that scripture, it has been added to God bless you, sir.
The Bible says, cause me.
It has been added to.
Exactly.
So we must know where they're bringing this promise of Elijah. We must know where
they should be able to show us.
Well, thank God for the progressiveness of revelation, and Amen. Thank God for the grace to rightly divide the word of truth. And something else that people have not touched, which I think we should touch about the two dispensations. But we're going to do that shortly after, right after this short break. We'll be right back.